This is Fresh Brew with me, Jason Vandermark.
Hey, how many of you got your Bible with you? Anybody? If you don't, we still have the little QR code on your bulletin. So last week I preached on Can You Lose Your Salvation? And I won't name names, but there were a couple of you that came and talked to me. And I loved it. I loved every bit of the fact that you guys were questioning things in your faith, and you were questioning things about the Bible, and you were seeking to understand further what I was talking about. But we were working together to really understand a little bit more about who God is. Amen? I mean, and that's a good thing, isn't it? And it's not just we're coming to church, we're sitting here hearing a message, and then we just take it and go home. Never, ever do I want you to take what I've got to give and just take it and leave with it. Research it, study it. That's the best thing. It's the best policy. So there were some things that were brought up, and I thought, you know what? I need to go a little bit further, and I want to talk a little bit more about the Romans Road. Anybody hear that ever phrase? Hear that phrase? The Romans Road. Romans Road is probably more of a Baptist thing than anything. But when you ever go to a Billy Graham crusade or whatever, and you had all these people come forward, right? And so what they do is, and there's nothing wrong with this, by the way, but what they do is they come forward and they say a prayer, and we call it the sinner's prayer. Anybody ever heard of that term? Some of you are like, no, man, I'm not for that. I don't. A bunch of Methodist people, they used to. No. So you say the prayer, and then for a lot of people, and this isn't true, but for a lot of people, that equates to your salvation. It's kind of like that fire insurance card that we talked about last week. We give you a fire insurance card, and then you're in. And that's not what the sinner's prayer is about. The sinner's prayer is about a time of repentance. It's a time of learning that I can't do this alone. I can't do my life alone. I can't live my life and live my life by works. How many of you know that your works will not get you into heaven? How many of you know that your righteousness, the Bible says, is filthy rags? I don't know. I'm not going to talk about that again. I got some people talk to me the last time I talked about menstrual rags. Tampons. Listen, that's what the Bible is saying, though, okay, guys? It says your righteousness is filthy rags, and that's what it's talking about. Some of you guys are wide-eyed now. Like, what is he? Where's he going? But your righteousness, you can't get into heaven by your own works. You can't get into heaven by your righteousness because it stinks. It's filthy. And so you need a savior. You need somebody to save you from yourself. You need somebody to save you from the things of this world. The Bible calls the devil the god of this world. Have you ever heard that? Ever seen that in scripture? Calls the devil the god of this world. Now, I want to tell you that if you walk outside and you look at a tree, or you look at your crop, you look at your field, you look at the grass, you look at the birds, that is not what the Bible is saying the devil is the god of. Okay? Can you hear that? God is god of that. Amen? God is god of that. What the devil is the god of is the worldly system, the worldly principles, the worldly mindset that this world has, the sinful nature. That is what the devil is the god of, and that is what Jesus came to destroy on the cross. Good, I'm getting some amens. And when he did so, he set you free from being bondage to that god. Because if you are living in your sinful nature, if you're trying to live by your righteousness, you are living in this world and of this world. And by doing so, you are under the godship of who? The devil. Somebody say, uh-oh. Yeah, that's not a good thing. So we need a savior. And so if you read the book of Romans, the Romans was for sure addressed to the churches in Rome, the church in Rome. And so it's addressed to believers, but it's talking about, and it's talking about your belief as a believer, what you're called to believe. But there is a process to that, because you have to know and you have to recognize that I don't want to be of this world anymore. This life that I'm living, this mindset that I have, is not working for me. And I can't do it by myself. So how do I get beyond this? I got to have a change of heart. I got to have a change of mind. I got to shift my focus. But how do I do it? Because I cannot do it. I've lived X amount of years and proven that I cannot do it. Can I get an amen from somebody? How many of you still struggle with sin? We asked this last week. Bunch of liars again, man. Yeah, but we talked about that, remember? Because even as new creation, we still struggle with trying to put to death that old nature, that old life, that old habit. So in talking about the Roman road, which is all about the book of Romans, naturally, we're going to be in the book of 2 Peter. So if you're in 2 Peter, it's all the way towards the back. We're going to start in the very first chapter, and we're going to start in the first verse. It says this: Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in what? Knowledge of our Lord, of our God and our and Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith. Somebody say faith. This is not salvation. Somebody say faith. Amen. Now, for this very reason, apply all diligence in your faith. Supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in what? Knowledge. Okay, for he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and his choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. That is salvation. Entering into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is salvation. Now, this is where we get tripped up. Because God has already given you, so look at your neighbor, say, hopefully you can say this, I am already saved. Say it again. I am already saved. Now look at your neighbor again and say, thank God. Okay? I am already saved, but I haven't been saved yet. Okay? I want you to catch this. I am already saved. It's been given to me. It's been promised to me. It is mine. How many of you, those of you who have had parents or relatives pass away, how many of you, when they were alive, said that they had something in their will for you? Anybody? Like a car or heirloom of some sort, right? But it was promised to you, right, in the will. And when they died, what happened? Hopefully you got it, right? Hopefully all of that served and you were able to get it. The Bible talks in Hebrews about the will of God. And without, when there's a will in place, a death has to occur, right? Okay, so you're getting it. When there is a will in place, a death has to occur. Who died on the cross? So that means the will was enacted, correct? made the promise to you while he was on this earth, and then when he died, the will was enacted to you. So I am already saved. Look at your neighbor again. I am already saved. Amen. But I have not been delivered yet. I haven't been delivered out of this world yet, right? Jesus, when he was praying over his disciples and over the people, he said this, I'm not asking you, Lord, to take them out of this world, but I'm asking you to protect them while they're in this world so that they are not of this world. They're no longer under the world system. So I've been delivered out of the world system. That's my salvation right now. I'm saved. But we got to walk in that. We don't walk in that. We tend to walk as though we're still in this old nature stuff. We tend to walk as though we're not saved or as though we're not gonna be saved. So I'm talking about living in hope because the Bible talks about the hope of salvation, the hope of eternal salvation, the hope of being delivered out of this world and into the hands of Jesus. And living in hope means that we walk like we're saved. Remember the old Bee Gees song? I'm not gonna sing it. You can tell by the way I use my walk. Can people tell by the way that you use your walk that you are saved? That you're about to be delivered from this world into the hands of Jesus? Can they tell that by the way that you walk? Can they tell that by the way that you talk? Can they tell that by your actions, by the way that you think, by the way that you speak? That's called living in hope. Living with the expectation. Let's go to Hebrews. If you got your Bible, let's go to Hebrews. I want to go to Hebrews 10. In Ephesians, while you're getting there, in Ephesians it says that we are saved by grace through. Say it again. Saved by grace through.
Faith.
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 Okay. We are saved by grace through faith. And it says in Hebrews 10, for in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by. Oh, my righteous one shall live by.
Faith.
Thank you. My righteous. Thank you, Tom. My righteous one shall live by.
Faith.
Faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul. Whose soul are we talking about? If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Whoa. The baby's getting it, guys. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. In other words, God does not take pleasure in those who cannot or will not live by faith. Faith is, chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it, men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared. And it goes on down this list, and then you get to verse 6, and it says, and without faith, it is impossible. Somebody say impossible.
Impossible.
To please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. All of these people listed in chapter 11, I would encourage you to read it. All these people, it says towards the end of the chapter, they did not see the promises of God in this lifetime. Abraham, when he was promised the land, he knew that he was not promised this physical earthly land. He was promised the land built by God, built with God's hands. And he knew that he was going to be delivered into that land. So since we have a new baby in the church, I'm going to give you this illustration as to what I'm talking about. Imagine a pregnant woman, and imagine she's just a few months pregnant. Okay? Is there a baby inside her belly?
Yes.
Is it alive?
Yes.
If there is a birth inside of her belly, if there is a conception inside of her belly, if there's a life inside of her belly, then you need to look at your salvation, your time here on this earth, as being conceived into this womb. Okay? When the Bible says you're being born again, you have not, once you're born again, you have not come to your fullness. Because God needs to perfect you. God needs to build you. When a baby is in the belly of a mother, what is happening to that baby? It's growing. It's gaining all the things that it needs to live a human life, right? Eyes, ears, mouth, nose, hands, feet, legs, arms, everything. And when it's come to its fullness, then what happens? It's born into this world. It's delivered from the mother's womb, and it's born into this world where it can be who it's supposed to be, right? Another thing that happens while it's in the mother's belly is there is a cable attached to that uterus or the whatever. You got it. I don't want to talk about it. All that stuff comes out and what's that cord called? What happens with that cord? I'm sorry? No. What happens while the baby's in the belly? Baby's attached to it. What's it doing? It's nourishing it, isn't it? It's providing for it, isn't it? Right? What are you doing here on this earth? Are you not growing? This group over here. Are you guys not growing on this earth? Is God not transforming you on this earth? Is God not renewing your mind on this earth? So you need to be attached to something, don't you? Right? Who is that? The Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit as you're growing here on this earth so that... One day, when you leave this world, you're not dying, you're being born into what? Everlasting life. Yes, this world is like, this world is like being conceived in your mother's womb. And God is taking this time to form you. He's taking this time to mold you. He's taking this time to shape you to be all that you're called to be and to be all who He wants you to be so that one day you can enter into eternal life, and that is called salvation, right? And that is called being truly born again. Now imagine Jesus is with Nicodemus and they're having this conversation, and Nicodemus goes, "You're telling me that I have to re-enter into my mother's womb?" If I were Jesus, I'd be laughing at Nicodemus. Like, do you catch the image of that? Going back into your mama's womb? My brother is 6'7". Can you imagine? No. I mean, he was 13 pounds when he was born, so it was like... Jesus had to have been saying to him, "No, you got to get it. You have been conceived again. And God, this time, God, I don't want to explain how a baby is born, okay? But this time, God, the way that Jesus was born into this world, this time, God is the provider for that. Does that make sense? This time, the Holy Spirit is the provider for that. And when you are born again, you are growing with the seed of the Holy Spirit. So that one day, you may enter into the hope that we have of salvation. But hope is not... What did we talk about, Colton? Remember a couple weeks ago with the lottery tickets? You told me about lottery tickets. We talked about Keno and all that. Hope is not like that. Hope is being assured of it. Hope is knowing that it's going to happen. I am already saved. Somebody say, "I'm already saved."
I'm already saved.
But not yet.
Not yet.
Does that make sense to you now? I'm conceived, but I haven't been born. God has me here on this earth to do what He's called, or He's got me doing, or He's molding me and He's shaping me. He's doing this work in me. And without Him, I can do nothing. He is the umbilical cord, correct? He is my source of life. He is my salvation. He is my provision. He is everything that I need so that one day I will be birthed into an everlasting life. And I then will be saved. But I want to ask you again, how many of you right now are walking in that hope? How many of you are walking in the hope that one day you are going to heaven? How many of you can honestly say that when people look at you, they see that you have the hope of salvation? Is that in you? If it's not in you, maybe we need to talk. Maybe we need to pray about it. And maybe we need to make sure that you know, according to 2 Peter, that you make certain about his calling and his choosing you by adding moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and above all of them, love. So that you can be diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you for as long as you practice these things. And then it says, and you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. That's an amen. Let's pray.
I have a question for you. Do you know where you're going after this life? Do you know whether or not you're going to heaven? Do you know whether or not you're saved? Did you know that you can be certain about those things? Now, I know people shy away from that thought because it's all unknown, but there is this element of faith. See, the Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith. In other words, God has already given us the grace. He's already promised us the salvation, but do you have faith in that? And here's how I know that that's what God is after, because in Hebrews chapter 11, it says in verse 6, it's impossible to please God without faith. You have to believe that God is who he says he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So my question is, do you have that kind of faith? And it says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not yet seen. So having that assurance of things. And then in 2 Peter, it says, now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith. So he's talking about supplying your faith, the moral excellence, the knowledge, the self-control, the perseverance, the godliness, the brotherly kindness, and the love. All of those qualities are very valuable qualities to have in your faith. And he says in this way, verse 10, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. In other words, you can know for certain that you are going to heaven or not. You can know for certain that you're saved. Isn't that what we want? We want to have that assurance, that belief that we are absolutely going where he says that we're going, that we have the promises that he says that we have. That's what he's called us to. That's the kind of faith that he wants. And when you read about faith in the Bible, in the New Testament, when you read about faith, it is having the assurance and the certainty that this is true, that God is who he says he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I pray that you would have that kind of faith. I pray that you would be willing to build that kind of faith in your life. I pray that you would be cultivating that kind of faith in your life. And if you're not, I just want to pray with you today. I want to pray that God reveal himself to you. I want to pray that you can have that assurance in your walk with him, that he is going to bring you into everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, I pray for the one listening today. And I pray that they can be certain, they can have that faith and that knowledge that they are going and that they have the promises that you have for them, that they've got them, that you're giving it to them, and that they will be led into everlasting salvation, that you are leading them. I pray the power of the Holy Spirit over their lives. I pray that you would breathe in them and on them. I pray that they would walk in your spirit. They would walk in your ways. They would walk in the light and not in the darkness. And they would seek you. And they would seek knowledge of you. And they would have faith in you. And they would build that faith. That one day they will be able to come into your arms. And you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, we give you the glory and praise through your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name. Amen. you've been listening to Fresh Brew with me, Pastor Jason Vandermark. Hey, this is Pastor Jason. I wanted to invite you to our Sunday service at 9:30 a.m. It's low-key, come as you are. We're a pretty down-to-earth crowd. We come and worship and sing His praises. We dive into the Word of God, and we hang out and have fun. Not sure about it yet? Check us out on Facebook and YouTube. Join in on a live stream and see what we're about. While you're at it, check us out on the web at a2cchurch.com. That's A, the number 2, cchurch.com. Hope to see you soon.